It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. How often do you go for a walk? The shoe company Rockport says since the pandemic started, people have been walking a lot more. According to a survey they released in spring of this year, 53% of Americans are walking between 1 and 5 miles more each day. Nearly two-thirds say they do it to stay physically healthy. 6 in 10 say it's a good stress reliever. And 93% say they're at least somewhat likely to continue walking outside for health and stress relief once COVID-19 has gone in the rearview mirror. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to go for walks? How come? What do you get out of it? Where do you go? Just the neighborhood, or do you seek out some natural setting? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got two guests with us from Marquette University. Sandra Hunter is a professor in the exercise science program in the Department of Physical Therapy and director of Marquette's Athletic and Human Performance Research Center. Sandra, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Stephen Saunders is a professor of psychology and the department chair. Steve, good to have you with us as well.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
And Steve, let's start with you. Why is walking good for our mental well-being?
Well, walking is such a wonderful form of exercise. It's not particularly strenuous. Almost anyone can do it. And, you know, walking is beneficial because, first of all, you're probably outdoors. Being outdoors for walking is more beneficial than doing it on a treadmill indoors. And you're out in nature, you're getting fresh air. Hopefully you're doing it during the daytime and you're getting some sunlight. All of these things are known to help people with their mental health. We help, you know, improve their mood. It helps you sleep better because you do get some exercise. It gives you an appetite. And especially if you go with someone you like, or perhaps even better, someone that you love, it's really hard not to have a nice, enjoyable conversation with someone while you're walking side by side with them.
That's the mental side of things. Sandra, walking is probably the exercise I do the most, but I got to admit, when I'm doing it, I think, does this really count? Is walking really exercise?
Oh, yeah, it counts. It's really good to hear that you do it. It's, you know, it can be a low to moderate form of exercise, and there's so many benefits. We know that exercise is medicine, and it is a form of exercise. And like, you know, Steve said, everyone can do it. It improves heart and lung function. It increases muscle endurance. There's so many benefits. It helps sleep patterns, like Steve said. It helps your immune system. It actually slows the aging process. It can really stabilize and promote weight loss. And, you know, it enhances brain health. And there's so many, it actually increases life expectancy. They've done studies where they've compared people who've walked, say, 8,000 steps versus 4,000 steps and seen that it increases life expectancy by up to 51%. And it really protects, like many forms of exercise, against diseases such as cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and stroke, just to name a few. So the benefits of this sort of low grade, or can be really moderate depending on what sort of path you choose, whether you're choosing hills, can be so beneficial. There's just so many benefits to walking.
And Sandra, I know a big part of exercise is making sure you do it regularly. How do we build a habit like walking, or I guess any form of exercise? How do we build that into our daily routine?
Yeah, you've got to treat it almost like, you know, brushing your teeth, that it's, understanding first the benefits of it, but just sometimes getting the motivation to get out there. So one of the things that I've adopted is not to bite off too much. You know, often we'll have these sort of, you know, these New Year's resolutions. I'm going to walk for 150 minutes because that's what the CDC and says that I've got to do, you know, per week. Which would be like 30 minutes a day. But if you could just take off, just start small snack bites of exercise, which is what I call it, even 10 minutes will start you in the habit. And then what happens is people say, hey, I actually really enjoy this. And it becomes a habit. But I would say the first thing is to start small, so that you are successful, that you actually keep engaging in the activity, because it's better to have small bites many times than none at all, or one big one and then you're done. So,
and Steve, I have found that if I'm anxious about something, like say a huge global pandemic, for example, Going out for a walk, I might catch myself kind of gritting my teeth early on and, you know, kind of all tense. But after a while, I feel it winding down. Can you talk about walking for relieving things like anxiety, big or small?
Well, any type of exercise, including walking, and maybe especially walking, because again, it's relatively easy to do. You don't get all sweaty. You don't have to shower necessarily afterwards, especially if you do it with someone else. Any type of exercise is extremely healthy for our emotional health. It's actually perhaps the most powerful mental health intervention for people with anxiety or depression, which is the two most common mental health issues that people confront. And of course, anxiety, you know, if you're not anxious about this global pandemic, there's probably a little bit something wrong with you almost. Everyone is anxious about it. We should be anxious about it. It makes us take care of ourselves and be cautious about things. But yes, walking, and just after a while, and it's not intentional. That is, it's not like during this walk, I'm going to reduce my anxiety, my stress level. It just happens naturally, and it's the blood flow. It's the blood flow to the brain. It's, again, if you're engaging in conversation, it's looking around and realizing how beautiful the world is, especially in spring and fall in Wisconsin and over the summer. All of that has such huge emotional benefits. And one thing I'd add to what Sandra said about getting into the habit is, again, find that partner that you can walk with and make a commitment to each other. Hey, don't let me back out of this. Let's walk every morning at 8:30 or between 7 and 7:30. Let's walk together. And then if you've got someone kind of helping you meet that commitment with you, being part of that commitment with you, it's so much easier to get in that habit and enjoy yourself more.
Talking about the health benefits of walking with Stephen Saunders, professor of psychology, Sandra Hunter, professor in exercise science, both at Marquette University. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, I just want to support what Sandra said. I'm a musician, and the best advice I ever got about practicing was don't think about practicing an hour a day. Think about practicing 10 minutes, and then you'll probably end up practicing an hour a day.
I love that, Tom, because I'm a musician, too, and I'm right there with you. So I used to think, if I'm not going to play for at least 20, 30 minutes, it's not worth picking it up. And now I'm like, no, pick up the saxophone. You'll get in 10 minutes. Maybe you'll keep playing the 20 or 30. I think that's great advice. Sandra, that can help us. If we're willing to start small, we might keep that momentum going, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just something that I've adopted in many areas of my life, not just exercise, but, you know, work. It's like, oh, I don't want to get this done. But and now to say, okay, 10 minutes, I can do 10 minutes. I can do anything for 10 minutes. And then when it's done, the stress relief is so much, is so great, but it applies to exercise and walking as well. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for that call. Great advice, Tom. I appreciate it. Now, Steve, you mentioned walking outside is ideal. In some conditions, whether it's weather or neighborhood, traffic, whatever, or personal well-being, it's not always accessible to walk outside. Do you see those mental health benefits even if, like I do sometimes with my step counter, I pace back and forth around the house like an idiot? Do I get something out of that too?
Pacing like an idiot is always beneficial, I find. I hope so anyway, because I do it a lot myself. Any type of exercise is really useful. Being outdoors, especially being in the sunlight, and, you know, we're heading into fall and winter where sunlight becomes a more valuable commodity, more rare, if you would, commodity. And sunlight is so beneficial to us with regard to our emotional well-being. But being indoors, getting some exercise, it's nearly as impactful. You don't get the beauty, you don't get the scenery. You're probably less likely to be chatting with the friend. So, but indoors, outdoors, exercise, again, as Sandra pointed out, this is legitimate exercise. You know, people set themselves up to get into an exercise program, and it sounds so overwhelming, and it seems so overwhelming. Start with a walk around the block. Start with a walk to the end of your block and back, and then pretty soon you'll fall in love with it, and you'll get used to it, and you'll make it part of your regular routine. But certainly indoors, any exercise, indoor or outdoor, is very beneficial. And especially, you know, winter is coming and we're all going to be knee deep in snow at some point. And it is a little bit harder to walk outside then. But research does show that sunlight is so important. And if you can get out there in the sun and get both benefits at once, that is particularly healthy.
Sandra, one thing I've noticed is that if I'm up and walking around, it means I'm not sitting around doing nothing. Can you talk about the problems of a lifestyle that's too sedentary, too much sitting around?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And didn't we find that with the pandemic? It's just so true that we're all sitting in front of a computer for a lot longer than we typically were. And we were losing some of that incidental activity that's so precious. And we don't even realize that we're doing, but they've found that sedentary behavior, almost independent of, you know, planned exercise, is a predictive factor of life expectancy and disease and a whole host of things. So just that incidental exercise that we get by moving around and walking and, say, taking the stairs versus the elevator, or walking to and from the car, which is something that I missed when the pandemic really hit first on, it is a risk factor for some of these diseases and life expectancy and independent of planned exercise. So just trying to incorporate this, you know, walking in everyday life, regardless of whether you plan it or not, is really important.
We'll leave it there. Sandra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Steve, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Been talking to Sandra Hunter, professor in the exercise science program in the Department of Physical Therapy at Marquette University, director there of the Athletic and Human Performance Research Center, and Stephen Saunders, professor of psychology and department chair at Marquette. We talked to them about the physical and mental health benefits of walking. I want to give the last word, though, to Jamie, who wrote on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jamie says, I walk alone without sound at early in the morning. I love seeing nature that's not present during the day, as well as the humans I see out exercising or walking their pets. I do it for the exercise, but also for the fresh air and the time to think my own thoughts that refresh my spirit. Almost poetical there, Jamie. Thank you so much for that.